It doesn't take a lot of intelligence as you read this to see that there is a theme running through. There is a chorus that is written here for us. What, four? Certainly four. One, two, three, four. Distinct times. And it is this little verse that I want us to look at this morning. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I want to get, as it were, a black pencil this morning. And I want to go through this little verse with the Lord's enabling, and I want to underline every little word, every little phrase as we come to it. We're going to squeeze this verse. You know, we've got an orchard with lots of apples. If you want to get the juice out, you know what you've got to do with the apples? You've got to squeeze them. I want us to get some juice out of this most wonderful verse this morning. Unfortunately, it's going to be a PM job this morning in the AM. But I hope it will help you to remember some of the wonderful thoughts that the psalmist puts here. Let's look at the verse then. How does it start? Oh! So the first PM is the passion that's mooted. Why does the psalmist start with this exclamation, oh! Now, I can only hazard a guess because he's not here to ask. Maybe one day I shall have an opportunity to ask. But it could be one of two or three things. It could be wistful longing. It could be frustration. It could even be irritation. But I know this much. The psalmist is concerned that not sufficient praise is rendered to the God who deserves our deepest praise and thanksgiving. Is that why he says, oh, oh, almost as if we might say sometimes, oh, if only I'd done so-and-so. Sense of regret. Is the psalmist regretful that people are not sufficiently praising and thanking? Maybe. Is he not frustrated that people aren't sufficiently thankful? I don't know. But there is certainly a passion here that's mooted. And why shouldn't we be passionate about our praise and our thanksgiving? I'm sure you've heard me say this before, but I was brought up in a chapel for many, many years where there were some preachers I used to, as a boy, I used to love to listen to. And there were others, well, they stood there with long, mournful, miserable faces, spoke in a monotone, no enthusiasm. My dear friends, if we can't conjure some enthusiasm about the Word of God and the God of the Word, then I reckon, as the old men used to say, there's something hooly wrong with us. The passion that's mooted. But secondly, will you notice with me the people that are mentioned? Oh, that men would praise. Why does he say that? Now, you ladies, you're not excused here, you know. It would be better described as mankind. The human race, in other words. Oh, if only the human race would start to praise. Now, I can't help wondering if
George Conder
didn't have that in mind when he wrote a hymn which I'm sure many of you would be very familiar with. Do you remember? All things praise thee, Lord Most High. Heaven and earth and sea and sky, all were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed should all worship bring to thee. All things praise thee, Lord, may we. And the second verse he goes on, all things praise thee night to night. The third verse, all things praise thee high and low, rain and dew and seven-hued bow. In other words, the whole of creation is filled with praise for our great God. And isn't that what the psalmist had in mind in, what is it, Psalm 119? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. I shall never forget, a year or two back now, but it made such an impression in my mind. I was walking the dog up the lane towards my house one day, and it was autumn time, and we were trying to lift potatoes, and boy, it seems incredible now to think about it, it was wet. Wet, 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 wet. You know, when you lift potatoes, you don't want wet. And oh, it was so frustrating. And I don't know, my thoughts were very much in the dumps. And as I walked up the lane, I stopped and I listened. And I heard a sound, and it was pouring with rain. And I heard a sound, and eventually I located it. And up there in the air was this little bird fluttering, little skylark. And it was singing the most glorious song. And, you know, I was so challenged. And I thought to myself, if a little old skylark can be up there in the pouring rain singing God's praise, what's the matter with me? Why aren't I? Oh, that men. Mankind would praise the Lord. And how relevant it is now. How many people do you know in your neighborhood that are determined, come what may, to be praising the Lord? It's not very often nowadays, unfortunately. But here we have the people that are mentioned. Then thirdly, the praise that is mandatory. Oh, that men would praise. In other words, stop grumbling. Stop complaining. Stop being miserable. And I know exactly what Daphne's thinking now. Put it into practice yourself. Why are you all talking to us about, my dear friends, I'm including myself as well. It's the easiest thing in the world to be discontented, to moan, to grumble. You say, well, if you had my problems, we all have problems of one sort or another. In fact, my father said when I wanted comfort, all he said to me was, well, boy, you know what the scripture says? Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And that didn't help me one little bit, you know. Not a bit. But that's what the scripture says. Of course we're going to get troubles and difficulties and problems. But that shouldn't stop us from seeing through those. Remember dear old, I don't know if you ever, any of you ever met him, dear old Ben Mutimer, Pastor Ben Mutimer. He used to be pastor of a little church in rural Suffolk. Walking down the street one day, the little village where the church was, and he met one of his congregation. Hello, Mrs. So-and-so, how are you today? Not so bad, Pastor, under the circumstances. And I remember him telling us he couldn't help that. My dear Mrs., whatever her name was, you should be above the circumstances. Not always easy. I'll grant that. And it certainly wasn't easy for me over the last 2 years. Oh, that men would praise. Oh, how vitally important that is. We've got a passion that's mooted, a people that are mentioned, a praise that's mandatory. Fourthly, we have a potentate that is magnificent. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. That's it. The one who gives us all things richly to enjoy. Every good and perfect gift, we read, comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You know, one of my favorite portions in the Word of God, and I've got lots of them, but one of them particularly is Isaiah chapter 40. I love that chapter. If you ever feel down and you want a real uplift, you have a read of that. You know, I'd love to go through it just here and now. But I mustn't. You know, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out heaven with the span, measured the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? You know, and I could go on and on and on. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare? It's he who sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain and spreadeth them out like a tent to dwell. I could go on. And it's so wonderful. It's all about our great God. Oh, what a God we have. What a God we have. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Boy, oh boy, isn't he worth it? I'll say he is. The praise that's mandatory, the potentate that's magnificent. But then, listen to this next bit. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Now, I have to say that brought me up short, because you can see what the rest of the verse says, and his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, personally, and you may not agree with me, but I think there is a difference between his goodness and his wonderful works. I think the psalmist is saying something like this. It's not what he does, but who he is. Just as a matter of interest, I got my dictionary out and I thought, what's the definition of the word good? And I couldn't remember it all, so I wrote it down. Listen, this is what my dictionary says as the definition of good. Having the right qualities, adequate, satisfactory, suitable, expedient, proper, serviceable, profitable, genuine, wholesome, sound, complete, reliable, considerable, having moral excellence, kind, friendly, courteous, acceptable. Whew. You know, our God is all that and much more. In essence. And I think the psalmist, we're not actually told who wrote this psalm, but you know, I think the psalmist David in Psalm 25 gives us an indication of that. In Psalm 25 and verse 8, what does he say? Good and upright is the Lord. Don't you think that's an indication of his moral character, good and upright? You would remember, of course, that rich young ruler who came to the Saviour. Good master, he said, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? What was the first thing the Saviour said to him? Why do you call me good? There's none good save one. That is God. Good in his personality, in his being. That's why when he created this world originally, we're told, and behold, it was very good. Why? Because God himself, in essence, is good. And I've often thought that there's an indication of that. Do you remember in Nahum, the prophecy of Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, we read this. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. I believe there's a reference there that no matter what the troubles are, he's a stronghold in the day of trouble, but even if troubles come, God's still good. Even if there are difficulties, even if there are disasters, and there are, but it doesn't change the essence, the nature of our God. That's why I think we need to remember that, the personality that's missed. God is good. And then finally, we have the performance that's maintained. Isn't it extraordinary? Through this psalm, the psalmist goes into details as to how the people of God got into problems, got into difficulties, got to the end of their tether, at wit's end, and it wasn't till then, rather like poor old Jonah. Took him 3 days in the whale's belly before he could decide that's time to pray. I tell you what, I'd have prayed a lot before that, wouldn't you? And yet, here are these people, all sorts of problems. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. You know, I think about this, and I've got 4 boys, as you probably many of you know. And I can't help thinking that if any one of those boys had constantly gone off the rails, frustrated me, gone against my wishes, there would have come a time when I'd have said, look, you've made your bed, now you lie in it. It's up to you. But you know how God doesn't do that. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. What happened? He didn't tell them to get on with it. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Time and time and time again. The performance that's maintained. And that's our God. That's why we're here this morning rejoicing in another harvest time. Because of the faithfulness of our God and because of a performance that is maintained. Don't you just love Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just certain days. Ever thought about that? Every single day, the goodness and mercy of God is ours. What a God we have! Isn't he worth, doesn't he deserve our deepest, most heartfelt praise and thanksgiving? I have to echo the psalmist's words once again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. How many of those PMs do you think you can remember? I wonder. Shall I give them to you once more? The passion that's mooted, the people that are mentioned, the praise that's mandatory, the potentate that's magnificent, the personality that's missed, and the performance that's maintained. And that's just one little verse in the whole of Scripture. What a book this is! but what a God is, the God of the book. Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you try every single day to praise him and to live for him? What we should be doing. Well, may the Lord help us so to do, for his name's sake. Amen.